Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you are the only true and living God. By your grace, you have called us to be your children and have invited us to come before you in worship and praise. Grant that we may worship you in spirit and in truth, so that our worship is truly pleasing in your sight. Let your saving grace work in our hearts and cause us to grow in our faith and love for you. We ask you, Lord, to strengthen us for the week to come, that in all things we may live as your dear children and give all glory to your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is, Lord Jesus Christ, be present now. I invite you to follow along with our order of service. As it's printed for you in your service bulletin, we begin on the middle of page 2. We begin this worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness. Therefore, we stand in awe of you. Since we are gathered to hear God's word and call upon him in prayer and praise, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and each other that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the very children of God and gives them his Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
We pray. Everlasting Father, source of every blessing, mercifully direct and govern us by your Holy Spirit, that we may complete the works you have prepared for us to do. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first scripture reading for today is from Colossians chapter 3. We read verses 12 through 17. These verses are an encouragement and a reminder of the blessings we have when we come to worship God, the singing of hymns, the reading of scripture, letting that dwell in our hearts and our lives richly. The Apostle Paul, writing by inspiration, says this: "Therefore, as God's elect, holy and loved, clothe yourselves with heartfelt compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive each other if anyone has a complaint against anyone else. Forgive just as Christ forgave you. And in addition to all these things, put on love, which ties things together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ control your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. In everything you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading for today is from Luke chapter 10. We read verses 38 through 42. Glory to you, O Lord. There are many things in life that we can categorize as wants. There are fewer that we can categorize as needs. But if you boil it down, there is truly one thing that is needed, and that is Jesus and His Word. In this account of Mary and Martha, Mary picks the best thing, the one thing that she truly needed, Jesus and His Word. As they went on their way, Jesus came into a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who was sitting at the Lord's feet and was listening to His Word. But Martha was distracted with all her serving. She came over and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." The Lord answered and told her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but one thing is needed. In fact, Mary has chosen that better part, which will not be taken away from her." Here ends our gospel reading. Praise to you, O Christ. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God with the words of the Apostles' Creed on page 6. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, Speak, O Lord, Your Servant Listens. Please rise. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who brings us together as his brothers and sisters, the children of God, dear fellow redeemed. Believe it or not, there are only three Sundays left that I have with you here until I move to Wisconsin. I knew that before I looked at the calendar this week, but it kind of just struck me finally. There's only three left. And since my father is preaching the sermon for next Sunday's service, I only have two sermons left with you before I move. And as we see that moving day get closer, we've been making lists, things that we need to take care of before that day arrives. There are some very important things that also need to be said while I'm still here. And so I figured I'd write those down as well. Part of that process will include preaching sermons. So in my last two sermons, I will be looking at some familiar and important promises and truths from God's Word. We'll call this two-part farewell sermon series, Important Things to Remember. The first is to keep meeting together. This important encouragement and reminder is found in our text from Hebrews chapter 10. We read verses 23 through 25. Let us hold on firmly to the confession of our hope without wavering, since he who promised is faithful. Let us also consider carefully how to spur on each other to love and good works. Let us not neglect meeting together, as some have the habit of doing. Rather, let us encourage each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. I want to start off by talking with you all today about an important medical condition. It's one that affects millions of people. It may affect you. Maybe it has affected you at some point in your life. It's a condition called FOMO. If you don't know what FOMO is, then the good news is you're probably too old to get FOMO. FOMO is an acronym that stands for the fear of missing out. And according to the internet, it's a term that was coined way back in 2004, if you can remember back that far. And it refers to having anxiety that an exciting or interesting event may be currently happening somewhere else. And it's often caused by posts on social media. That was the genesis of this term. And that's what caused FOMO originally. Well, then I decided I might want to look this up and see what the internet has to say about it. And I found out, to my dismay a bit, that is actually a medical condition of some sorts, that the Cleveland Clinic has written some articles saying what to do about FOMO, how it actually affects your health. And a quote from that paper says this: the fear of missing out can have a direct impact on your physical, mental, and emotional health. You might physically experience some symptoms associated with anxiety. I immediately then regretted how I started the sermon, but that doesn't sound good, does it? It's not really a joking matter for people who suffer from it. I wouldn't want that to happen to you. I don't want that kind of FOMO to happen to you when it comes to social media. But how about FOMO when it comes to worship? Do you have a fear of missing out if you don't gather with your fellow Christians for worship on Sunday morning? Or do you feel like you're really not missing out on anything if you don't go? Even if you were to read the printed sermon, even if you were to watch the worship service from the internet at home, you are in fact missing out on something if you're not here gathered for the worship service. You're missing out on the one blessing that cannot be fabricated, simulated, or imitated. That blessing is fellowship. In order to enjoy and share, that's what the word fellowship means, in order to enjoy and share in the blessing of church fellowship, you must be around fellow believers. Our text gives us several reasons to keep meeting together. And as you might notice, it doesn't say anything about who the pastor is, or even if there's a pastor at all. God's encouragement to his people is simply this: keep meeting together. The first reason he gives us this encouragement very much revolves around this blessing of fellowship. Look at verse 24 of our text. The writer of Hebrews says, "Let us also consider carefully how to spur each other on to love and good works." One of the great blessings our fellowship can bring is love and an encouragement to grow in love. One commentator wrote something that I thought was very profound about this verse of our text. He wrote this. He said, "We can believe and hope as individuals, but the practice of love always involves others. It also involves good deeds or good works. When love is present, it is exercised in good works toward others." Jesus himself tells us that our love for each other is a sign that we are truly his disciples, his followers. He said in the Gospel of John, "By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for each other." You can't show your love for each other. You can't spur each other on to love and good works without being together, meeting together. We all need that type of encouragement at times. That brings us to the second reason God so strongly encourages us to keep meeting together. Verse 25 of our text says this: "Let us not neglect meeting together as some have the habit of doing. Rather, let us encourage each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching." We like to watch nature shows at our house, and it seems like every time I walk in on my wife watching a nature show, it's always a part where some poor animal is getting attacked by some predator, about to get eaten. And if you watch those shows, what is the gazelle or the zebra or the wildebeest that's always the one the lion goes for? The one that's either wounded or weak or kind of straying off a little bit, right? Maybe it's the little baby that's a little bit too far from the pack. That straying one from the herd is the one that's often picked off by the lion. Well, the Bible tells us there is a lion who's roaming about looking to devour us. Not to devour us physically necessarily, but to devour our souls. The animals know this. There is safety in numbers. Do we always remember this as Christians? There is safety in numbers. There is strength in numbers. The book of Proverbs says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." God wants us to meet together partly for the reason of mutual encouragement, giving and receiving strength when tempted, urging and being urged when wavering, comforting and being comforted when sorrowing. These are all blessings we have when we keep meeting together around the Word of God. And as the writer of Hebrews reminds us, and I like to point this out about this verse every time we read it, he also reminds us we should do this all the more as you see the day, capital D, day, approaching. The day he's referring to there, of course, is Judgment Day, the last day. If the Hebrew Christians this letter was written to needed that encouragement, and this was 2,000 years ago, how much more do we need this encouragement today? We're 2,000 years closer to that capital D, day, approaching. Another interesting thing to notice about this text is you might notice that none of the reasons given for why we should keep meeting together are selfish or self-centered at all. It's almost a little strange that it's not mentioned at all about what you're going to gain from it. Since oftentimes the first thing we think of is, I will spiritually benefit from gathering with my fellow believers to hear God's word. And yet this text doesn't bring up any of those things. It emphasizes the fact that when you go to church, others are encouraged. The whole body is encouraged in general. Again, look at how our text speaks of this. It says, "Let us also consider carefully how to spur each other on to love and good works." Let us encourage each other. In other words, if you don't feel like going to church for your own benefit, or if for some reason you don't feel that you are missing out on anything by not coming to church, well then go for the sake of the other people who will be missing you when you're not there. Go for the benefit of others. I can speak for myself when I say that it's an encouragement to me as a pastor and as a fellow parishioner, a fellow churchgoer, that it's always encouraging to see people in the pews. A full pew is always more encouraging than an empty pew. I and no other pastor has ever been encouraged by an empty pew, and no member has ever been encouraged by an empty pew. And finally, the third reason our text gives as to why God tells us to keep meeting together revolves around the reason we gather together in the first place. We gather here because we gather around His Word. We come here to gather as God's people to worship God and hear His Word. To worship and praise Him for all that He is, all that He's done. To learn from His Word and draw our spiritual strength and our eternal life from that Word itself. And the first verse of our text is a powerful encouragement when it says, "Let us hold firmly to the confession of our hope without wavering, since He who promised is faithful." That's not just a strong encouragement, it's a reminder of God and His promises. He is faithful. This same God who sent His Son to pay the ultimate price for our sins, the same God who saved you and has a place for you waiting in heaven, wants to meet with you around His Word. He wants to remind you of His promises every day. He wants to share those blessings that are right there that He's given to you and to others in that Word. And He also promises to bless us with His presence whenever we gather around that Word with each other. And just so we're clear for those who aren't able to gather around the Word as regularly as they'd like to, or maybe can't anymore, how many people does Jesus say need to be there for fellowship to happen and to be blessed by His presence in a special way? He says, "For where two or three are gathered together in My name, I am there in the midst of them." So yes, this fellowship can happen in your home as well. You can draw blessings from the fellowship of your fellow believers who might just be members of your family. On top of all this, let's consider also the example that Jesus set Himself. While Jesus was here on this earth, He regularly went to worship. He regularly gathered with His fellow believers to be encouraged and encourage. Think about that. If the Son of God Himself felt the need to attend worship services and gather around the Word with His fellow believers, shouldn't we? This encouragement, I believe, is an especially important one as we are facing a time of transition. Not just looking to call another pastor, but also the combining of our congregations. There are multiple challenges involved with this transition. We're calling for our next pastor today in our voters meeting and after the worship service. But the fact is, you might very well be facing some time without a full-time pastor serving your congregation. We thank God that Pastor Mark Gullerud is going to be filling in as vacancy pastor, and we thank the Lord for His willingness to serve during that time, however long it lasts. But during that time that you are without a full-time pastor, think of how much more important, not just for Mark's sake, but for all of your sakes, it will be to gather together for mutual encouragement and mutual strength. The other thing I'd like you to think about as I look ahead to serve a different congregation in a different location, one of the things I'm looking forward to is the opportunity for a fresh start. The opportunity to throw off some of the bad habits that I may have fallen into over the years, both personally and also in my ministry. A chance to put into practice some of the things that maybe I've always intended to do, but just haven't gotten around to. Maybe start with those when I arrive at the new congregation. Have you taken the time to think about that fact, that opportunity for you as well? During the upcoming vacancy and the future pastoral change, it might just be a time for a fresh start for you as well. So I encourage you to do some soul searching. Are there some bad habits in your life that you'd like to change? Are there some things you'd like to start doing that you've been putting off for a long time? How about your participation with this congregation and your fellow believers? How about your participation with your future pastor? Ask yourself, have I participated as much as I could? Have I attended as often as I could? And remember our encouragement from the Word of God that says, keep meeting together around that Word to encourage each other, to spur each other on to love and good works. I don't want any of you to have FOMO. Not the social media kind, and not when it comes to gathering together for worship and that priceless blessing of fellowship. God doesn't want you to miss out either. Let us hold firmly to the confession of our hope without wavering, since He who promised is faithful. Let us also consider how to spur each other on to love and good works. Let us not neglect meeting together as some have the habit of doing. Rather, let us encourage each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, I invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entry of our church. We'll continue our service with our next hymn, Christ is our Cornerstone. I invite you again to stand for the last verse. Thank you. We have a significant amount of prayer requests this week, so I'm going to invite you to be seated for the prayers today. Several prayer requests. First of all, prayers of thanksgiving for Dan and Angela's anniversary. They celebrated their 10th anniversary. Was it yesterday? Today. Yesterday. Chris Holt had successful bypass surgery. It ended up being quadruple bypass surgery. He sent me a message yesterday and said he's going to post the sermon and the video to the website. He's already home and got home on Friday and is feeling pretty good, all things considered. He said, feeling pretty good considering that my heart had stopped for 2.5 hours during the surgery. So he's in good spirits and doing well. So we thank God for Chris's surgery and his beginning of his recovery. We pray for Christy McCarthy, who broke her ankle and tibia, unfortunately, and is going in for surgery in the coming week. There are a number of pastors in our synod whose health is failing or have suffered loss. We'll pray for them. We pray for Terry's friend Aaron, who is suffering from breast cancer, and for daughter Patty, who is going in for some tests, and for Terry's safe travel when she goes to visit her daughter. We also were informed of the passing of Jack Mayhew. He was a beloved member of the CLC, has a connection to our congregation, lived out here for a few months while we were constructing this church building, or reconstructing it, I should say. He helped build many churches throughout the CLC, was a builder in the city of Valentine, where I previously served, and was a wonderful, wonderful man to have on your side, not just for the handiness, but just for his encouragement. Was a longtime member of the Board of Missions, and is the one who got me into the Kinship Committee. So we pray for Jack's family. He passed away suddenly from a stroke on Wednesday. And we also pray for those who have been affected by Hurricane Helene, and pray for those who are recovering still from that storm. Any other prayer requests? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear gracious and faithful God, you ordained marriage for the good of mankind, and 10 years ago you saw fit to join Dan and Angela in marriage and bless them over these years in so many ways. In your goodness, you have kept them faithful to their covenant vows. You have blessed them with children and given them many friends. Through your Holy Spirit, you have helped them found a Christian home where you reign with love and forgiveness, a home whose foundation rests upon the hope of everlasting life through faith in our Savior Jesus Christ. We pray that you would remain with Dan and Angela, multiplying your blessings to them as they commend the rest of their years to your loving care. According to your gracious will, give them good health, physically, mentally, and most importantly, spiritually. Protect them and their family from all harm and danger. Strengthen them and preserve them so that they may endure every test of faith that may yet come their way. Through your Holy Spirit, help them fight the good fight of faith to the end, that they may lay hold of eternal life to which you have called them. We pray this in the name of our Redeemer and Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear Savior, our Heavenly Physician, we thank and praise you for watching over our brother Chris Holt during his quadruple bypass surgery this past Monday, and that you have allowed his recovery process to begin and even allowed him to return home from the hospital on Friday. Bless his upcoming therapy, and if it is your will, give Chris a smooth and full recovery. Bless his rehabilitation process, that it would be as pain-free as you see fit. Be with his wife Kathy and his family during this recovery process as well, that they would be a help and blessing to him during his time of need. We pray above all that you would strengthen his faith and the faith of his family and loved ones during this time of recovery, and that any difficulties or setbacks he may face would only draw him closer to you. In your healing, saving name we pray. Amen. Dear Jesus, great physician of body and soul, we also pray that you would be with Christy McCarthy during her upcoming surgery. Give the surgeon the necessary skills to perform the surgery successfully, and if it be your will, prevent any complications or setbacks. Please help her to deal with whatever pain or discomfort results from the surgery, and if it be your will, give her a quick and complete recovery. Be with her husband Mike as he attends to her, and let them be a source of mutual encouragement to each other during this time of trial. Dear Savior, we pray that you would uphold, strengthen, and heal, if it be your will, those pastors whose health is failing or who have suffered loss. We think especially of Pastor Ed Starkey and Pastor Timothy Wheaton, who are going through devastating physical trials. We also pray for Pastor Del Moss, whose father passed away this week. Please be with them, with your comfort, with your healing, and your strength to bless them and remind them of your presence and the kingdom you have prepared for all of them and all who believe in you. We pray that you would bless with your comfort and your healing Terry's friend Aaron, who is battling breast cancer. If it is your will, cause her treatments to be successful and give her healing and recovery. Most important of all, draw her close to you as her Savior during this time of trial. Be with Terry as she travels to be with her daughter Patty, who is undergoing ultrasound and possible biopsy. If it is your will, cause favorable results from the tests and keep her in good health. Help her to fully trust in you during this time and ease any anxiety or apprehension she may have, knowing that you care for her. Dear Savior, we praise you for the life and blessings that you gave Jack Mayhew, for the blessing he was to his family, his congregation, our church body, and to all who knew him. We thank you for the work he provided for us as he oversaw the work of reconstructing the church building that we worship in here at St. Stephen. Of all the buildings and church construction and the homes that Jack built, we rejoice that he is now in the heavenly home that Jesus has built for him, where he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Please, dear Jesus, comfort and bless his wife Louise with those words and the rest of Scripture. Be her comfort and strength during this time of loss. Give her family and all those who knew Jack the joy of knowing that he is at eternal rest by your side. Merciful God and Creator, Father and Creator of heaven and earth, by whose gracious will we enjoy the fruits of your creation, we come before you today in the fellowship of our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, awed by the expression of your power in the recent hurricane, and we are distressed in heart at the loss of health, life, home, property, and necessities that so many have experienced. We thank you, Lord, for your protection and for your mercy in keeping so many safe during and after the storm. We pray that you would comfort those who lost loved ones, homes, and property in the storm and flooding. We pray that you would give hope to those whose hope has vanished. We ask you to be merciful to them, to restore power and water quickly to homes and businesses who do not yet have it. We pray, Lord, that in the aftermath of this storm, your word would find ready ears and hearts so the comfort of the gospel might renew and heal those broken hearts. Help all of us to love your word more and more, and not miss out on gathering together to hear your word, to worship you, and enjoy the great blessing of fellowship with each other. As you have called us to reflect your love, give us strength by your Holy Spirit to show our faith through giving love and assistance to others and to help others according to our means and ability. Lord, we thank you for being our loving Father in Christ, that we may come to you in prayer. So we ask, Lord, forgive, comfort, strengthen, and support us. And may your word so fill our hearts that we and all who are led to trust in you might steadfastly and confidently look forward to the eternal home that you've prepared for us, where all sin, disaster, loss, and hardship is gone, and freedom from all earthly things prevails. Let this truth fill our hearts with everlasting joy that we will be in the presence of our dear Savior. In his name we pray these things, as we pray together now the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please rise. Receive now with a believing heart the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. We close our service with a hymn, In Christ Alone. We invite you to rise for the last verse of that hymn. Please be seated. Good morning. A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus. Pray that you've been blessed with the message you've heard today. And a welcome to our visitors who are with us. Invite you to sign our guest book and invite you to come and worship our Savior with us again in the near future. Yeah, let's have a two-part farewell sermon, Pastor Luke. That's a great idea. So you can start the tears a couple weeks early. Maybe I'll get them all out of the way before the farewell service, right? No, not a chance, right? Almost made it through a few of those verses today in Christ alone. A few announcements. Following our service today, we'll be having our voters meeting and call meeting to call the next pastor. Please meet in the fellowship hall for that. We'll get that started as close to 11:15 as we can, and we'll hook up the Zoom meeting as well if there are some that are coming from or want to attend from out of town. After the call meeting, the East Bay Church Council is asked to meet in the classroom portion of my office, and the women's auxiliary meeting will continue to be held in the fellowship hall after the voters' meeting. There is no worship service in East Bay in Hayward today. This week, an important week for us here, we get to host the Pacific Coast Pastoral Conference that will be held here Tuesday through Thursday. And on Wednesday evening, we'll be having a fellowship meal with the pastors who are gathered. You're all invited to join us for that. We'll meet in the fellowship hall for our meal at 6 p.m. It is a taco bar, and there is going to be there is a sign-up sheet in the entryway if you'd like to help bring some items to pass for the meal. Join us for that, and then join us for the worship service with communion that will follow at 7 p.m. Pastor Dave Nauman, who is from Clarkston, Washington, our church there, he will be our preacher. And if you know Dave, he's got a very deep voice, so come and hear him preach. He's a very, very gifted preacher. Next Sunday, we will have our Bible study at the usual time of 9 a.m. Worship service with communion will be at 10 a.m. My father, Pastor Emeritus Mark Bernthal, will be here helping us pack up to move, and so he has graciously offered to preach the sermon for the service next Sunday, both here and in Hayward. Next Sunday will be our farewell service for the Hayward Church. We will be discontinuing our services there at Grace Lutheran next Sunday. You are all invited to join us for that farewell service. The worship service will be held at 1, and there is a farewell gathering with refreshments and fellowship hour afterwards at 2 p.m. So please join us for that if you'd like next Sunday. My father will also be preaching at that service in Hayward. Oh, after the service today, also during the meeting, we will have some anniversary cake in celebration of the 10th anniversary of Dan and Angela. So there is some cake in the fellowship hall that will help us tide over for the meeting or meetings if you are involved in both of them. On the back page of the bulletin also, there is the upcoming farewell schedule. I mentioned next Sunday at Grace, or sorry, at Hayward. And then our loading day is going to be Saturday, October 12th. The time will likely be 10 a.m. If we have a number of hands there to help, we could probably get it done within an hour or two, is my guess. And then our joint farewell service will be held here on Sunday, October 13th at 10 a.m. with a fellowship meal to follow. Our actual pull out of the driveway day will be Tuesday, October 15th, Lord willing. Unless I just can't do it. Yeah, probably. It's never too late. I'm just kidding. Any other announcements for today? Oh yes, remember there's no ushering out anymore. You can just get up and go at your leisure. If you want to be the first one to shake hands, come on out first. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.